So let's raise our hands together. Say, dear Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this service, we receive clarity of thought and accuracy of understanding in your word. We receive that in this service, there is no distraction or confusion in this atmosphere. There's a free flow of revelation knowledge in this service. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel 28. We're in singing, but the series is in the Spirit and by the Spirit. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, which is the word power, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then he says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, the word to teach all nations in 19 there is the word mathetuo in the Greek, M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O, which implies to train people or to make people students. Okay? And that's what it means, to train people and to make people students. So the local church, just like this morning, is where we receive that training. Say, I'm under training by the Spirit of God. Excellent. So you have that word. So come to that shortly. Now pay attention to verse 18. All authority in heaven and earth. Now, we've said it over and over again that the Bible of Jesus is the Old Testament, what we now call the Old Testament. It was never called the Old Testament by Jesus. It was never called the Old Testament by Paul or Peter, James and John, writer of Hebrews. Nobody called Genesis to Malachi Old Testament. It was called the Word of God, and that's what it still is. And the basic principle is that the scripture cannot mean today what it never meant when it was written. So if Jesus never called it Old Testament, we can call it Old Testament for reference purposes, but not for interpretation. It is not the Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi is the Word of God. That's what it is. It is the revelation of God, and that is how we must take it. It's not Old Testament. It does contain the Old Testament, but it is not the Old Testament. It is the Word of God. And that's how Jesus taught it. So we said, therefore, that the words of Jesus and also the words of the apostles were firstly words in the Old Testament. And our study of scriptures must be such that we do not make a segregation. Rather, we make, as it were, a congregation of the words. We congregate them together. We read them together. And we study them together. So therefore, when it says all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, these are words that you can understand firstly by reading, as we call it today, the Old Testament. Now, like I mentioned, it wasn't called Old Testament. It was called the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. By the time Jesus came, it was called the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. It was also called the Scriptures, and also called the Law. And I think I was in this service, I said this last week, that the phrase law does not mean legal things. Remember that last week? Okay? That it means doctrine. Okay? Law doesn't mean doctrine. People say, I'm not under the law. I'm not under the law. Anytime you show anything in the Old Testament, I'm not under the law. No. That's the doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, all scripture, and at that point, he wasn't referring to his own epistles, he wasn't referring to the four gospels, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, that the man of God may be thoroughly polished, perfect unto every good work. Romans 15:4, he says the things that were written aforetime were written for our doctrine, that we through the comfort and patience and comfort of scriptures, we might have hope. Romans 15:4. So what we have in the Old Testament is as valid to us today as it was to them. However, it requires interpretation. Interpretation. And that's what Jesus did in Luke 24. Jesus did not abandon it, rather he interpreted it. So we have a responsibility to equally interpret. I'm going to just go to Luke 24 quickly on that. Luke 24, just jump in the queue I usually do. And it says, it's Luke 24:25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So that means they are words of faith. Then he says in 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what he has done is to expound, which is to interpret. The word daramenu, it's a Greek word, it means to interpret or find the meaning. We must be careful for that, because I read a lovely quote, a guy says, a scripture is not what it means to me, or what I think it means. A scripture is what it says it is. You don't try to impose your thinking on the scriptures. And we charismatic have to be very careful around that area, because we are Holy Spirit people, so we are quick to make the Holy Spirit do what we really wanted to do. So the scriptures must be interpreted in its own way. And that's verse 27. In verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Law of Moses, prophets, Psalms. Then they opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's what they were called, the scriptures. The scriptures, or the word of God, or the doctrine. So I told you that they were summarized in three words, the Torah, T-O-R-A-H, then the Nevim, N-E-V-I-M, and the Ketuvim, K-E-T-I-V-U-M, K-E-T-U-V-I-M, sorry. So usually they call it, the acronym is called the Tanakh, T-A-N-A-K-H or T-A-N-A-K. That's what it was called. The law, the prophets, and the writings. So that's what it's called. That's how it's seen. So every time you read the four Gospels, right, what you are reading are commentaries of the Old Testament. Commentaries. It's like someone writes a book, then he says, come on, let's discuss what is in this book. And then the fellow comes up and discusses what is in the book. Now, if you're in the place, for example, and we're doing a book review, or a book review, maybe something like that, or a book commentary, and then you're seated there, you don't have the book, you've never read the book, you're only listening to what the commentator is saying. You are likely going to get everything he says out of context, because you must have the book. Say, you must have the book. And you must read the book. Okay, so you must read the Old Testament to understand what is being said here. Same thing, John's Gospel 20 and 21. When Jesus said, as my Father sent me, even so send I, you said peace unto you. And then when he said that he breathed on them, we've seen that word over and over again, he breathed on. What does it mean? We have to go through the Old Testament to understand what he meant by breathing. Now, you could think that what he's saying here is put his nostrils on them, that he put his nostrils on their heads. Practically, I've seen people say it, that Jesus actually, when he breathed on them like that, they got born again. And I kind of felt, if he has to do that, that means every time we also want to get people to receive the new birth and get born again, we just put our nostrils, of course, without a nose mask, and put it on their heads, saved, go. Say, but that's not true. The only way you understand what's said here is to go to the Old Testament. This is receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins that you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins that you retain, he says they are retained. Again, these are words from the Old Testament. Impliedly, we looked at interpretation gems as a church, and we developed a concept we call the codified language. Which means that when you see a phrase in the Bible, oftentimes in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, it carries with it, okay, a lot of other things beyond just a single statement. It carries with times, seasons, personalities, events, theologies, sometimes polemics. So the scriptures are meant to be read together. Let's see, Mark 16. Mark 16. You in church? 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, let me I was saying this. I don't know why I'm particular about what I'm saying, because I had to share this with some pastor friends that I knew. They did a survey at some point and discovered that many believers, in fact, it was 70% of born-again believers, right? Born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, demon-casting, heaven-going, what else? Book of Life, whatever, you know. And they said, well, they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And they said that. And then I had to tell some pastors, I said, well, the truth is, they wouldn't be grounded in Scripture when you hardly feed them. See, they don't understand what the salvation is. And so that's why we take enough time. So we have not taken enough time, sorry. We try to take enough time to explain God's word to you, so you are not in any way confused. And you know, 70% is a very huge percentage. Very huge. So if you do not know who Jesus is and what salvation is, and you are born again, I know you have eternal life, but there's something else eternal that you seem to have. And that one has to not be eternal. Praise the Lord. So it's important that you pay attention to God's word. Being a Christian is not a tag. Oh, I'm born again. Yes, sir, I'm Christian. Oh, yeah, yeah. Amen. We thank God for everything. It is well. Praise the Lord, Shandai. Amen. That's not... No. It's a practical life. It's something that takes your life. It subsumes your thinking. It affects your world view, the way you see everything. Hallelujah. Are you there? Oh, we. So Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. We said the word gospel there is an Old Testament word, basar. We'll come to that shortly. And go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name, which shall cast out demons. That's what devils. He shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18. He shall take up serpents. If you drink anything, you shall not hurt them. He shall lay hands on the sick, and they the sick shall recover. So that the Lord has spoken unto them, he was sitting up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, is italicized, and confirming the word with signs following. Okay. So again, when we read this, we're reading the Old Testament books. But I want you to pay attention to something that is consistent. And that is verse 19. He was received up into heaven. Okay? Matthew 28:18. All authority in heaven. Then Luke 24. And verse 51. It was carried up into heaven. Now, when we read that, we are reading the Old Testament. You need to know what heaven. Don't read heaven. Don't understand heaven from the tract that was given to you, or from a denominational thinking. No. Heaven is only understood by reading the scriptures. When we say heaven, oh, that brother has gone to heaven. That's the way we say it. And that's because he has died. Okay? But the funny thing about it is, we don't dispute when people have visions and then they say they also went to heaven. Okay? So when we say heaven, what comes to my mind, or our minds, pardon me, sometimes it's someone's dies, and then he goes to heaven, and there's a lot of clouds, something like that. White, precise white clouds. And then there's throne in the middle of the clouds. And then there are white looking angels just bowing and bowing and bowing and bowing. And we see saints, believers wearing white. You know, why didn't you just join the white garment churches if you like white so much? And they are singing. And then some people say, no. It's more than that. They said, there are going to be estates in heaven. Oh, beautiful. They're going to have mountains and stuff like that. Yeah. Eventually. So you died and you get to heaven. And then you ask a question. Am I going to stay alone in the estate? Yeah. Have you tried to stay alone before? And it's an eternity. You have 8 rooms to yourself. With a restroom. Huh? Is there going to be a restroom? Well, there should be a restroom. Why do you have to have a restroom? A gym? Because you can put on weights in those places. Because you'll be eating of the tree of life and... Then once in a while you go and visit your friend down the road. Maybe his own life wasn't so straight, so he just got a room and pee. Room and parlor. Or face me, I face you, or face me, I slap you. And say, oh, this is where you are. The guy cannot say, may God elevate you, because that's permanent, you know. You're there forever. You know, that's the thing about some theologies, they don't just make sense. What were we now? The use of heaven. Okay? If you go to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 30, you will understand the phrase heaven. Deuteronomy 30. Here's Moses in verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I call heaven and earth. So he's not talking about a place where people go to when they die. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you. I call heaven and earth to witness against you. So he's definitely not talking about where dead people go to. No. Dead people, well, go to the grave. Those who are alive are here in heaven. But the point is, that's not what heaven means. So, let's open again to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The heaven, now some versions say have sky. S-K-Y, because that's exactly what it is. Sky. But the truth is, I said to you, the word there is Shamayim, S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M. Which refers to, in proper interpretation, the unseen world. Or the supernatural world. How do we know? Because the next verse says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord. Now I want you to listen carefully to this one, because it's critical. Moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of the Lord moved. Now, that word move, put your hands in there and go to Deuteronomy 32. So the idea we have is there's problem. So God wants to create the earth. But have you ever wondered, God wants to create the earth, and then the first thing we have before he created the earth was the earth. God wants to create the earth, and as he wanted to start to create the earth, he now started with the earth. Which means that the language here has to be understood. Okay? So, are you following this? Are you following this? Because that means he's not talking about the making of matter. Because if matter was the issue, if God wants to create heaven and earth, or the earth, the first thing you are going to see is not the earth. Now you realize that in the Old Testament, earth was used for people. Same thing as waters. So you see this? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Are you in church? I've told you many times, the Bible is not a science book. It's not a book to be arguing with atheists about when the earth was created. You're going to lose the plot, because that's not what it's about. Scripture was written in a pre-science era. So it couldn't have been using scientific facts. The scriptures were written in the pre-science era. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 10. Pay attention here. He found him in a desert and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Let's take 11 together. As an eagle stirs up the nest, flutters over our young, spreads abroad our wings, takes them, bears them on our wings. This is the same word, over our young. The same word used in Genesis 1:2. The Spirit of God over the waters. And the word there, the move over, is from the word al, A-L, in the Hebrew, from the word Allah, A-L-A-H. It's a preposition, basically, that describes the action. So here we have, the Spirit of God moved the Spirit of God upon. And Jeremiah 32 says, the Spirit of God led. And that word has to do with the redemption of Israel, which is what we call new creation. New creation simply means when God redeems, when He saves. And that's why we have chaos as the first thing. Chaos, spiritual darkness. Alright? And then He gives light. And that is a redemptive work. But the point I want to focus on this morning, I know you know this already, is the Spirit is upon. This is the first time you are going to read the word Spirit upon. Spirit upon. Moved upon. So the Spirit upon means that God is redeeming or He's doing something new. Spirit upon is a redemptive term. So the Spirit upon here is Spirit upon people. The Spirit upon people. Now let me quickly mention that word upon to us. In the Hebrew, that word al, upon, is a preposition that means to walk with. To walk through. It doesn't mean upon the person's head. No. It means upon. If I say, I saw the Spirit upon Shago, it means that I saw the Spirit walk through him. Not that when I looked at his forehead, I saw the Spirit. That's not what it means. It means the Spirit walking through. So, the Spirit walking on or walking through is God's redemptive terminology. So pay attention here again. Remember the word heaven? Heaven means the supernatural. Is that clear? The unseen world. Come on, are you there? The supernatural world. That's what it means. Now, in Luke 24, so Spirit upon, pay attention again, new creation, come on, talk to me, new creation, right? Can we also say Spirit upon all the earth is God's global plan to reach the world? True, yeah. Spirit upon, God using men, right? Come on. That's what it means. So you can give all those meanings to it. New creation, God's redemption, God using men, right? God's global evangelism plan. That is what Spirit upon means. So when Jesus was saying it, which we're going to see in a moment, his audience was, we're reading what? The Old Testament. Is that very clear? So they understood what he's saying. Now, if you hear Spirit upon today, don't read it in today's world. Read it first of all in their world. So in Luke 24, you there? Are you there? Luke 24. And verse 49. Luke 24 and verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Then look at Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Upon you. And you read all that in the book of Acts. The book of Acts has it in abundance. Acts 2. So, the Spirit upon, we can also call it a new Genesis. Acts 2. Verse 3, there appeared to them cloven tongues like a fire. It sat upon each of them. Then Peter explains it in Acts 2:17. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's Joel 2:28. Then look at Acts 8. Well, we're going to come to this one in the second, third service. Acts 8. Verse 16. As yet he was falling upon none of them. The Holy Ghost was falling upon none of them. Okay? Acts 10, house of Cornelius, and 44. As Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Fell on all them. Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Acts 19 and verse 6. As Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Okay, so we have it. It's a consistent term. And so the right way to interpret it is to read it from the Old Testament. We're going to see that more now in a moment. So when it says the Spirit upon, then look at John 20:22. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, in your John 20:22, put it in a bracket, upon you. Put it upon you. Because when he asked him to receive you the Holy Ghost there, it's the same thing in Acts 1:8 and Luke 24:49. And of course all the other texts we had read earlier. So, go back to Matthew 28. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Matthew 28. Remember we started with the phrase heaven. Now it says, all authority, Matthew 28:18, in heaven, and we said what heaven there is the supernatural, which has to do with supernatural beings, pay attention, angels, spirits. So you can say, all authority in the spirit world. Would that be correct? Come on. Would that be correct? Come on. All authority in the spirit world. Uh-huh. In the supernatural. Come on. Come on now. Talk to me. All right, good. So that's what he's saying. So when he says, our Father, Matthew's Gospel 6, Matthew will never have imagined you're talking about when people die. Matthew's Gospel 6, verse 9. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, if you put that, our Father who art in the Spirit, will that be correct? Okay. Who art in the Spirit, hallowed be thy name. Your will be done on earth as it is in the Spirit. Will that be correct? Come on, would that be correct? Very good. So, and you see that, you see a couple of parables about the kingdom of heaven is like a man. The kingdom of heaven is a man. Every time you see a parable about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus used men. John 1. So making a distance between heaven and earth is a terrible error. Right? Heaven and earth are only a distinguishing of the natural and the supernatural in this world. John 1. Watch this now. This is John when he baptized Jesus. Verse 32. Let's read it together. John 1:32. Are you there? Okay, let's see. John 1, are you there? 32. Let's read it together. And John bore record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a... So what did he mean by that? I saw the Spirit where? In the Spirit. Does it make sense? Okay. In the Spirit. Well, it is heaven opened. But let's see some other renderings of that. Matthew 3, verse 16. The heavens were opened unto him, Matthew 3:16, and he saw the Spirit. Now, the heavens were opened unto him simply meant he saw into the supernatural. So Luke 24:49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Or every time that we read, and Jesus went and sat at the right hand of God, or went into heaven, what they are saying is, he disappeared out of our sight, and he is in the supernatural, in the world of the Spirit. So, Spirit upon is new creation. A new Genesis. Spirit upon is new creation. Spirit upon is Genesis. Spirit upon is Exodus. But we read Deuteronomy 32 now, verse 10 and 11. So when we read Spirit upon, it takes us back into the Old Testament story of God's Exodus of Israel, or a redemptive work. It's new creation. Ezekiel 36 again. Ezekiel 36. Watch this quickly. Now says to us, verse 26. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stone out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. We studied this before, that this is an Exodus story. Why? Because in verse 24, I'll take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all the countries, and I'll bring you into your own land. Okay? How is he going to do it? Ezekiel 37, verse 5. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you live. How is he going to do it? Prophesy. Speak God's word of life. Okay? So what happens? Ezekiel 37 and 9. He will breathe upon. Exactly what Jesus did in John 20, 22. Ezekiel 37, verse 9. Now look at Ezekiel 39 and 29. Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, says the Lord God. I pour out my spirit upon them. Now, where does he do that? Pay attention now. Ezekiel 36, he takes you out, Exodus, gives you a new spirit. How is he going to do it? Ezekiel 37, by the preaching of the word. Ezekiel 39, he says, now my spirit is upon you for new creation, for a redemptive task. Which means spirit upon simply means God walking through a man or a woman to do his will and task in the earth. That's what spirit upon means. So in Isaiah 44, are you with me? Are you with me? Isaiah 44 and 3. I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty, and flood upon the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. That's Genesis, Exodus, simple. Dry ground, desert is Exodus story. I'll pour my spirit upon. Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open up prison to them that are bound. Is it an Exodus? Huh? Redemptive work? Come on. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So spirit upon is new Genesis, redemption, new beginning. And let's see Isaiah 60 and 1. I want us to read that together. Isaiah 60 and 1. Let's go. Arise. I wait for you. Let's go again. Arise. I wait for you. Let's go again. Let's go. Arise. Shine. For the light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Can we take two together? For hold on. That's Genesis what? 1 and 2. Can you see? New Genesis. Go keep reading. And gross darkness what? So earth is for what? Earth is for what? Are you following this? Now go on. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen. Genesis 1, 2 and 3, right? Let there be light. Let's say three together. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings. Is it clear now? Is it very clear? So the spirit upon is new Genesis. God's redemptive work when he's doing it through us. Joel 2:28. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. See Numbers 11. So spirit upon is not the spirit upon your head. Is that clear? Is that clear? Is describing God's vessels, God's instruments of redemption. Numbers 11. The background of this is, don't forget we're talking about singing. Numbers 11. Here's Moses, he says to God, he says, look, I can't bear this burden alone. Verse 11. I've not conceived these people, I can't carry them alone. I can't do the job alone. Numbers 11. Verse 11, 2 to 13. I can't bear the burden alone. Verse 14. Numbers 11. So you could just kill me. 15. The Lord said to him, okay, gather 70 men of the elders of the nation of Israel. Verse 16. Why does he use 70? Because at this time, there were 70 known nations to them. 70 known nations. So when he gathers 70, that's to symbolize that their work is a global work. Gather 70, what am I going to do? He says, I will, in the tabernacle, verse 17, I will come down and talk with you there, and take of the spirit that is upon you, and put it upon them. What does he say? They will bear the task together with you. Is it making sense? So which means spirit upon is to bear the burden of the gospel, the burden of God's global plan. Then that really happened. Numbers 11. And verse 25. He took the spirit upon him, gave to the 70 elders. Verse 25. It came to pass that the spirit rested upon them and they prophesied. So that is new creation. That's what it is. New creation, or a Passover, or an Exodus. We're saying the same thing. In Luke 9 and 31. Luke 9 and 31. So, all the time that we read in the book of Acts, that the Spirit came upon people, was it to fulfill the task that Israel failed at? Exactly, that's what's going on. And I told you something. That if the Spirit is upon for the work of ministry, clear? Huh? And all the believers in the book of Acts, did the Spirit of God come upon them? That means all believers are called into the ministry. All the believers. All the believers are in God's new Genesis plan. All the believers are in God's new Genesis plan. So watch this now. In Luke 9, 31, at the Mount of Transfiguration, it says Jesus and Elijah and Moses were there. He appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. The word decease there is the word Exodus. That's the Greek word for Exodus. He spoke of his Exodus. So Jesus' death is called an Exodus. That is why his body, broken for us, is called the Passover. Christ is our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. So we are in his Passover. We are in his redemptive work. So look up, let's do some simple arithmetic. Look up quickly. Look up, Genesis 1-2, is that an Exodus? Because we're in Deuteronomy 32, right? Come on. Isaiah 60, verse 1-2, new creation, redemption, excellent. So, is Jesus' death also an Exodus? Okay, good. So, if we are the church, we are his Exodus people. Come on. Very good. So, the Exodus fact is upon us today. Whatever God called Israel to do, in the earth is what we're called to do. Israel failed at doing it, but that's what we're called to do. We are his chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9. And Peter is really strictly from the nation of Israel. We're his chosen generation. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. Peculiar people. 1 Peter 2:9, which is Deuteronomy 32. Is Deuteronomy 32? Verse 8 and 9, it's Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. We are his chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. He said he called us out of darkness, come on now, to show forth his marvelous light. To show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Genesis 1:2, right? Come on. Very good. That's Exodus. That's Exodus, people. A priesthood. So which means all believers are called into a priesthood. So we are in a priesthood. Come on, we are in a priesthood. Say, I'm a priest. Very good. We are in a priesthood. So in the Exodus, quickly, Exodus 15, you learning something? Are you learning something? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone with a spirit upon here? Come on. Anyone with a spirit upon? Amen. Raise your hand. So, speaking with tongues, I like what T.L. Osborne, he said this years back. It's such a strong statement from a charismatic preacher. He said, the reason for Pentecost was not speaking in tongues. And I didn't like that because that was my first early years of being a master at speaking in tongues. So what does this man mean? He said, the reason for Pentecost, the reason why God gave his spirit, is so that we can reach the world. Hallelujah. Because that's the spirit upon. Is that clear? Watch this now. Exodus 15. Now, I'll start from 14:31. We read it last week. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Exodus 15:1. Let's go. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. You see? Then sang Moses. So the Exodus is evidenced by singing. And we saw last week, I'll take it again, Revelation 14. So wait, Exodus, new Genesis, new creation, God's new walk in the earth. Are we together? Come on. Good. So, Revelation 14, verse 1. And lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, okay, and with him 140,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Let's take 2 to 3 together. And I heard a voice from heaven, and the voice of many waters, the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers. Right, let's go. Let's take 3 together slowly. New song before the throne. Watch, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn. What do you mean no man could learn this song? What is he saying? No man could learn what? There's no language that cannot be learned in the world. What do you mean no man can learn? Exodus 15. We're going to read verse 2. Let's go. Into 3. Let's go. I saw it as well, a sea. Revelation 15, are you there? Of glass, go on, mingle with fire. And then there are gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name. And stand of sea of glass, having the harps of God. Let's take 3 together. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. The song of the Lamb. Hold on, Lamb is Passover, right? Okay, so that's the song of Passover. Go on, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just true are your ways, thou King of the saints. So, with the Exodus, right, and what God is doing in the earth, comes singing. Singing, right, is one of the things God does to us and through us in his purpose and plan and Exodus and Genesis in the earth. Singing. So you need to take singing seriously. Watch this now. Look at Matthew. Matthew 26. When Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples, the ceremony now, And when they were done with the Passover, Matthew 26, we often read it, and this is the blood, verse 28, of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's take verse 30 together. And when they had sung an hymn, they went into the Mount of Olives. So they sang after this ceremony. Why? Because at the Exodus, they were singing after. Mark 14 and 26. Mark 14 and 26. Same thing. The song and hymn. We're going to come to this a bit in a moment. The song, the sang. Now, it's not ceremonial. Even though the Jews adopted it as a ceremony, but it wasn't a ceremony. Singing is a spiritual activity. No wonder, pay attention here, look at the Psalms. I told you the word Psalms means songs. So, and we said that towards the death of Jesus, what were his most referenced texts? Songs. So which means Jesus used songs to accomplish the will of the Father. When he was on the cross, it was a song. When he went to the grave, it was a song. When he rose from the dead, it was a song. Look at this very critical text of scripture. Psalm 2 verse 7. My son, this day have I begotten thee. A text that is all over the New Testament, as we call it. My son, this day have I begotten thee. It's a psalm. It's a song. What you are reading is a song. Psalm 8 verse 4 to 6. What is man that you are mindful of him? Not the son of man that you visit him. That is a song. Psalm 78 is a song. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord. Most scholars believe that this is the most referenced text in the whole Bible. Seat on my right hand. It's a song. Hallelujah. So songs carry the will of God, carry the purpose of God, carry the plan of God. Songs. We come to the New Testament. Luke 20:42. When Jesus was going to die, his last conversation with the Pharisees, who were really a thorn in his side, his last conversation was a psalm. Luke 20 and 42. David himself said in the book of Psalms, can I say in the book of Songs. Watch this. On the cross. Of course, Luke 24, 44. About him. Acts 1, 20. They're going to choose someone to replace Judas. They go to a song. The lyrics of a song. Acts 1:20. Here is Paul. He's also preaching. His major text. Acts 13:33. Is a song. So songs are not meant for entertainment. Songs are meant for doctrine. Songs are meant to build. Songs are meant to do God's work in the earth. Let me see if you're following this. Are you following this? Songs are not meant for entertainment. Songs can be for entertainment, but that's not the primary purpose of them. In 1 Corinthians 14, and that's the word psalmos, P-S-A-L-M-O-S, 1 Corinthians 14, 26, Paul says, when we come together, 1 Corinthians 14, 26, he says, every one of you has a psalm. Has a psalm. A psalm. In Ephesians 5:19, It says in 18, do not be drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing. You cannot be filled with the Spirit without singing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, that's what he said. Hymns and spiritual songs, singing. Same thing, Colossians 3:16. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So let's now get into the nitty-gritty quickly. The word psalmos, like I mentioned, P-S-A-L-M-O-S, is from the word salo, P-S-A-L-L-O, to make music. God actually instructs you to make music. To make music. To make a sound. He wants you to make it. So, a sound. You make music. God actually told you to do it. But you know, my voice cannot even up key F. That's not the point. He's not asking you to entertain. Is that clear? It's when you want to entertain that they'll be looking for your voice and all the keys available. Say, bros, not music team. Go and work with security. No! He says to make music. The word salo, actually it means to strike chords. In Romans 15 verse 9. Are you in church? Let's do something. Make music wherever you are. Don't sing any song. Just make music. Come on, go ahead. Good. That's what God told you to do. Now say something with it. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Make music. Now say something with it. Hold on. So that is an instruction from God. Praise the Lord. You following this? Now, the word salo, Romans 15:9. This is about Jesus in his redemptive work. Romans 15:9. Are you in church? Are you in church? Let's go. Okay, let's start from 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ, I'll wait for you. Let's go. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. To confirm. Verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, I will sing of thy name. That's Jesus. I will make music. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'll make music. I'll make music. Which means the believer is meant to make music. Your spirit, listen to this now. Your spirit are God's musical equipment. To make music of his exodus. Music of his victory over darkness. You have to take your singing seriously. Glory to God. I said glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. We'll come to this in a moment. Paul says, I will sing with my spirit. I will sing with my understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Ephesians 5:18. Singing and making melody. So as a melody. Music. Glory to God. So music is not from the musical equipment. Music is from your spirit. Glory to God. I said glory to God. God always gives you music. Music in every hour. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He gives you music in every hour. Say, he gives me music. Praise the Lord. So you don't need to play a song in the background. You have a song on your heart. God always gives you a song. Glory to God. That's why Paul will say, singing and making melody, making music in your heart. James 5. James 5. And you know what some of us do? When we have rough moments, and rough times, we go and pick up one secular artist. Although we've come to the end of the road, they start crying. It has an effect on your life. Because if singing is supernatural, it can also be negative. Oh, they're singing about Nigeria. Say, Nigeria, jaga, jaga. Everything, jaga, jaga. Born again man. You know, one time like that, I remember, you know, so somebody was singing one song. This is a very funny one, really. And there's a song by one lady like that. My papa no be Dangote. So she now sang the song at Dangote's daughter's wedding. So, Dangote was meant to sing that song. So when he got there, he started laughing. My papa, because he couldn't sing that kind of song. Now, but all of you were singing, but he couldn't sing that, and the bride could not sing that kind of song. I'm trying to say to you that you must know the kind of songs that you sing. Don't sing it because it's a trending thing. It's a trending thing. Somebody will find you. Then you see other people toasting you on the road. Is that not what you are singing? Okay, we say, the guy says, that's what you said. Hallelujah. Singing is spiritual. Praise the Lord. James 5. Are you in church? Is there any afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Hallelujah. Anyone who is happy here? Anybody happy here? He said you sing. Glory to God. You sing. Glory to God. You sing. You can start with whistling. From making sounds. Then the lyrics will start to flow. Hallelujah. You are yielding to the Holy Ghost. A way to yield to the Holy Ghost is to sing. Down in my heart, there is the nature of the Father. Down in my heart, there is the Spirit of the Lord. Down in my heart, the love of God is fully shed abroad. And in His name, I'll do what He's called me to do. You know, that's what songs are for. Years ago, in the work of the ministry, a lot of people were walking together. They had left. I was the only one left. In the whole ministry. So I'm praying and fasting. And as I got to a point, I remember the spot. And it was a peak, very, very, very hot sun. And I'm praying. But I knew I laid my hands on the future by the song that came out. It is Jesus who won my heart to stay. It is Jesus who gave me life to live. It is Jesus who saved me from this age. It is Jesus all the way. That is why He gives you a song. We were in a room praying. Praying and praying were about 10 of us. For Holy Ghost Street. 10 of us. And as we were praying, I'm praying and hearing God's word, He responded with a song. I see the fire of God's Spirit. What about 10? Burning in my heart, setting me on fire. How can you sing that song in a room for the world? We didn't even have a microphone. But glory to God, it's coming to pass. Hallelujah. Because God gives you a song. Don't listen to the wrong ones. Don't sing the wrong things. I don't know. When I wake up in the morning and my heart is filled with pain, and you say you are sick. Those things are rubbish. Glory to God. Songs are spiritual. They deal with the soul of man. You need to see it that way. If God instructs you to sing, because it has a spiritual effect. They hear this very well. Songs are spiritual. Don't expose your mind to nonsense. Is that clear? So I'm just, there was a minister like that years ago. Whenever he had to train his music people, his choir, they go and listen to secular songs. So I asked him, what were you doing? He said, you know, he's out to get it. I said, this is a dangerous thing. Hear me. Most of the people there are no longer in the ministry. Why? It's a seed that was sown. So they'll move from singing for the Lord, singing for the world, and they'll make money. But they are definitely not fulfilled. Hallelujah. I sing for the Lord. Say, I sing for the Lord. Acts 16:25. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Is there still a new Genesis going on? So do we have songs every now and then? We have songs every now and then. We don't sing from CNN. We sing from the scriptures. Hallelujah. We don't sing from the news. We sing from the good news. Glory to God. We sing from the good news. Hallelujah. Songs will come out. There are songs that will come out. The reason why you don't know that they have come is because you are reading something else. You know, somebody is singing a heartbreak, you are listening to it. Somebody is singing his depression, you are listening to it. I just feel like, this is some rap. I just feel like taking a gun and shooting my head. I just feel like, I'm gonna blow. And you are struggling in church. Why are you not sleeping in the service? That's what you are listening to. I feel good. You are singing. I feel like a balloon in the sky. Oh, who's gonna take me out of this mess? Now you think. Wait. You think it's about the music? No! Something's going on! There's a mess. Oh, mess. It's all really rubbish. And you're singing it. Every latest dance steps, you know it. Everyone. Pastor, I don't know. I've been to WCC. That's convention. My life has not. Why would you move forward? You take 10 steps forward, 20 steps backwards. Hallelujah. See, I take my singing seriously. Are you in church? Acts 16:25. At the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Hallelujah. The word that humneo, H-U-M-N-E-O. It simply means to say something to glorify God. They sang it out. They sang it out. Same thing as singing psalms. They sang it out. What we read in Matthew 26:30 and Mark 14:26. Now usually, after the Passover ceremony, which we call communion now, the Jews will sing Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. Psalm 113. They practically sang it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise his name. Through to Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. For his good and his mercy endures forever. 113 to 118. Then Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks. And if you read those Psalms, they are the Psalms of the Exodus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Then he says, this is my story. This is my song. Hallelujah. So which means, God has given us, listen to me, weapons, believers authority weapons in singing. Learn to sing. Hallelujah. Learn to sing. And watch what you sing. Is that very clear? Watch what you sing. Watch how you sing it. Hebrews 2:12. Glory to God. Hebrews 2:12. I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. This is about Jesus. Hallelujah. So do we have a singing shepherd? A singing Lord? A singing Christ? Are we like him? Hallelujah. Take 1 minute, just sing. 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 Come on, sing. Sing, come on. Sing. Sing. Oh, sing. Sing. Hallelujah. We're going to do more of that. Sing. Learn to sing. Did you hear that? Because you are a singing spirit. Colossians 3:16, the word hymnos is also there. And Ephesians 5:19. So look at Ephesians 5:19. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anyone born of the Spirit here? Let me see your hand. Come on, raise your hand if you're born of the Spirit. In the Spirit. Glory to God. Now look at Ephesians 5:19. It says, and be not drunk with wine. Wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Now, psalms means to sing. Hymns means to glorify God. So they are not two different things. Psalms that glorify God and are spiritual songs, singing. What does it mean? Spiritual means to sing by the Holy Ghost. Or to sing in the Spirit. Because the word spiritual is the word pneumaticos in the Greek. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is the gift of the Spirit the proof of our exodus? Of our salvation? Come on, talk to me. So, which means, I can sing by the Holy Ghost. The word songs is the word ode. O-D-E in the Hebrew. In the Greek, sorry. Revelation 5:9. Says the saints of God, we sing. Revelation 5:9. I'm going to show you something in a moment. Revelation 5:9. They sang a new song. New creation. Revelation 14:3. Revelation 15:3. They sang a song. To sing a song. Now let me show you something quickly. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I learned to sing always. Acts 4. When they were threatened, here, they're threatened. And when they heard that, Acts 4:24, they lifted up their voice in one accord and said, Lord God, now, thou hast made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and all that is therein. Who by the mouth of thy servant David? Now, they are singing a song in the prayer. They sang. They took the psalm literally in their prayer and sang it. So when you pray, learn to sing. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Now we have singing for other things. No doubt. In Luke 15:25, Luke 15:25, when the prodigal son, as we call him, came back, the elder brother, and they were going to marry. They began to marry in 24. How do they marry? They married by music and dancing in 25. Music. The prodigal son story. I'm sure when Jesus went for the feast in John 2, they must have sung songs. They must have, you know, done entertainment. And Paul tells you also that when an unbeliever beats you to a feast, say go. 1 Corinthians 10. So you could have that. Music that is not necessarily a song that glorifies God or sings about Jesus. But be sure of what you are singing is not coerced. It's not immoral. It's not violent. It's not filled with fear or lust. Right? It's not. You watch the kind of songs that you sing. You know why? Because songs transmit spiritual realities. So you must watch it. Paul says whatsoever things are pure, right? Philippians 4:8. Any virtue, any praise, noble, just, think on these things. So I can literally watch the songs. I sing other songs. I sing other songs. I do. I love singing. I love songs. I love good music. But you know, you need to be careful of the kind of things that you sing. Is this pure? Is this of good report? Does it have any virtue? Paul says, think on these things. So don't sing songs because they are trained. Don't say, I just want to learn how they sing there. I'm not particular about the lyrics. Ha. Don't worry, the lyrics are particular about you. Have you never seen yourself do this? That you start singing songs you never knew you heard. Ah. Now, I had heard this before because I had this before. Someone said this years ago and I kind of felt this extreme. Ah, what does he mean by that? Sometimes you can just be listening now. You know, it doesn't mean anything. So when I was washing, as I started singing one song, I said, ah. I never knew I knew that song. There are songs today that I sing that I never sang it when it was sung. I didn't know I knew the songs. One day I was walking and I said, I've forgotten the song. I sang it and I said, I never sang it then. It was sung in maybe 1980 something. I said, it didn't have been there. Waiting for manifestation. Hallelujah. You need to check the things that you listen to. Some of us were too vulnerable. Anytime we're in a place, we want to trend. We want to flow with the trend. You say, you've never heard this song. They're not even in town. They're not even in town. What does that mean? They're not even in town. You don't know. You're singing it. That's how one day like that. I didn't know this song was not by Celine Dion. You are my strength. I thought it was a worship song. So I was singing it. So my friend laughed. What's going on? He said, did you listen very well? I said, I didn't. He said, baby, baby. I said, oh. He said, you think it's baby Jesus? Hallelujah. So I sing in the spirit. So Paul says we should sing in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You all speak with tongues here? Come on, you all speak with tongues? So, speaking with tongues involves singing in tongues. 1 Corinthians 15. 14, sorry. Glory to God. I said glory to God. And verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. How is it then, brethren? I will pray with the spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. What else? I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding. I will sing with tongues. That's what it means. To sing with tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands. Albeit where? In the spirit. He speaks mysteries. Hallelujah. Glory to God. when life challenges come towards you, sing in the Spirit. You hear what I'm saying? Sing in the Spirit. Learn to sing in the Spirit. Look at all the songs that we have today in church that we sing. There are songs that came out of teaching. So what means, as pastor teaches you the word of God, turn them into songs. The song, this song, today we hear it all over the place. All over the place. When we travel, we hear it in many places. I was in someone's car abroad, and he was playing, you know, a member of our church, and was playing one of the songs. And I said, this one, I've not really heard this one. I said, it's there. The song, God in Man. I just did a series on the name of Jesus, 2007. And then Pastor Wiley just came with God in Man who died for man. Do you see the impact of the song? It does exactly what the teaching does. Hallelujah. That's why you will see a lot of ministers will have you to sing before they minister to the sick. One time Elisha said, call me a minstrel. Let's see, 2 Kings. Are you in church? 2 Kings. In chapter 3. They were looking for the word of the Lord. Verse 11. Is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord? 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 11. And one of the king of Israel's servants answered, there's Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. That means he served Elijah. Oh, glory to God. We'll look at this in the second and third service. So they went to Elisha. And Elisha said in 14, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before my son, surely wait not, for I regard the presence of Joseph and the king of Judah, have not looked towards thee, nor thee. So now look at 15, let's take 15 together. Now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass that when the minstrel played, what happened? The hand of the Lord came upon him. Can you see what music does? When the minstrel came, the hand of the Lord. Do not underestimate the power of music. Music, singing by the Holy Ghost. Singing gets you in the Spirit. So what kind of singing do I do? I sing my experience. Just like David. I sing my experience. You're facing a hard time. Sing it out. Sing it in tongues. You start out in tongues. As you start out in tongues, and you singing in tongues, and singing in tongues, and singing in tongues, you will find the understanding. What are you doing? You're getting in the Spirit on the matter. Sing. Don't just pray in the Spirit. Learn to also sing in the Spirit. You sing what the Spirit of God is doing in the earth. Sing it. Hallelujah. Learn to sing. The equipment to make melody is your Spirit. Making melody in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the ways to know a Christian that is full of the Spirit, he or she is always filled with thanksgiving. Always filled with thanksgiving. Always filled with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will sing for you.